Welcome to our Sunday message, Sunday the 20th of October 2024. Our readings for this message are, first of all, the book of Psalms, Psalm 37 verse 4. That's Psalm 37 verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. In the New Testament, we read from the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Heavenly Father, we ask you to continue to guide us through this teaching on your agenda and how we, as your children, need to tie up with that. By your grace, we pray that these words from the Word of God will help us. And Holy Spirit, we're trusting you to be our teacher and our guide for the extension of the wonderful kingdom of heaven. We bless the wonderful name of Yeshua. Amen. Now, in our last message and messages, we've been following this subject of God's agenda. And we've made the point that God has got an agenda for the world in general, and He has got an agenda for us as individuals. This agenda, this plan, was created before time, before the foundations of the world. These purposes were in the heart of God. We aren't a mistake. Having said that, as human beings, every one of us has our own agenda. We all have what we are trying to pursue, what we do every day, and what we are. Now, it's so important for us to realize that we were placed on this earth for a purpose. And whereas we have got an agenda, and God has got an agenda, the key to you and I being fulfilled in this life is to align our agenda with His agenda. As we have been saying, this doesn't just suddenly happen overnight. It is a process. And might I add that, like many things of God, there's more to it than just a simple formula or a simple explanation. As Christians and as human beings, very often that's what we want. We want a simple explanation. We want something that's very easy and quick to grasp, and then we can run with it. Unfortunately, the real valuable things of God don't work that way. Very often there's more than one concept involved, a combination of principles. And if we want to move with God, as mature children of God, we need to be prepared to learn those principles, to absorb them, and to apply them, as the Bible describes, line upon line, precept upon precept. In our haste to simplify things, very often the enemy of our souls uses this as an opportunity to insert his lies into the fabric of our life. Sometimes in our quest for a simple answer, we rush away without a full understanding. Not that our understanding is ever complete in any area, but you see, if we don't have a fundamental understanding of things, we can so easily be sidetracked. We can so easily be deceived. It is our responsibility to take time to understand principles, bit by bit, to build them into our lives and to benefit thereby. You think of a person who's just been born again. They might rush off and say, well, I'm going to save the world. They might have all the enthusiasm in the world, and not that it's a bad thing to try and get people saved. But if we don't have a firm grasp of what it is that we are communicating, and the way God wants us to go about it as individuals and in context, we can so often mess it up. Other great doctrines, for example, the whole subject of healing. People get one end of the stick, God wants me healed. Believe that, not that it's not true. But you see, only understanding that fundamental concept isn't really enough. And what happens so often is that in this particular case, we believe God wants us healed. We don't take trouble to understand the fullness of this whole revelation. Questions such as, how does that healing come my way? What is my part to play in the whole proceedings? Things like that. We miss them completely, and what happens? So often we don't see what we see in the Bible manifest in our lives. And too often, sad to say, we, as it were, throw the baby out with the bathwater. The deep things of God require a responsible and dedicated approach. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to reveal parts, if I could call it that, of the jigsaw puzzle to us, and to put them in the right place, piece by piece. This analogy works for this whole process of you and I moving from what is essentially our selfish ambition, our plans for ourselves, and maybe just those nearest and dearest to us, to something bigger. And if we don't grasp that this process has got various permutations, we can so easily be derailed, as so many people have. And in this teaching, what I'm hoping to do, by the grace of God, through the Holy Spirit, basing it on what I can see can be found in His Word, principles of this process that you and I can take hold of, and slowly but surely move into that which God has designed for us. We mentioned last time that this journey starts where we are at. God is for us. It was never His plan that we just abandon everything that we have for ourselves and jump into some wonderful, great enterprise that's going to result in the whole world coming to salvation. We have to move from where we are gradually. And as we said, the starting point is get things right at home. Bring our lives into order. Once we have that foundation, once we begin to understand the principles, then we can gradually move from one degree to the next. We think of the early church. The instruction was to operate first of all in Jerusalem, then into Samaria, and then into the uttermost parts of the earth. There's that process. Now, as far as moving into what God has called us to do, we need to understand this is a process of self-discovery. And one of the most fundamental aspects of this process is coming to understand that our call on this earth is not about ourselves. As we mentioned last time, once we move from getting our lives in order, as it were, into the bigger picture, slowly but surely, that which we have held dear starts to change. Now, the fundamental process of finding what you and I as individuals are called to do has this basis. You see, the kingdom of God is about meeting needs. Meeting the needs of others and meeting the great need that God has on the earth. For us to achieve that, God has placed in all of us various giftings. The title of this particular teaching is Matching Gift with Need. Matching Gift with Need. What we need to grasp, and we have mentioned this before, is that the gift you and I have, whatever it may be, or giftings, as the case may be, whatever they are, were not designed to operate alone. They were designed to meet a particular need. Now, in this whole process, we understand, of course, that there are a lot of needs out there. And perhaps in our lives we have particular giftings. To move into what God wants us to do, we have to first identify what the particular need is that God wants us individually to address. Can I just add that that need, as we grow into these things, might change? Not that the need itself changes, but as we grow, we begin to understand what the need really is in a situation. But I'm running a bit ahead of myself. The first thing to start to address is, what is the need out there that God wants me to meet? Now, I'm sure every one of us knows there's so many needs out there that if you and I had to contemplate meeting every need we come across, our lives would end up in frustrating futility. That's why, you see, we have to grasp that God's approach to these things is to use, if I can use the term, a collective machine, which is the church. You and I were not designed to meet all the world's needs on our own, as much as we might very often want to. What we need to grasp is that out there is a particular need that God wants you and I to help him address. Not necessarily on our own, but there is a particular need out there which will be and should be the focus of our purpose on this earth. You see, we have to see beyond just surviving and building our empire and our career, etc., etc. Not that those aren't important to God. But we need to realize God has a purpose for us. And that purpose would be in the form of meeting a particular need. Now, having said that, you and I will grow into an understanding, if we're available, to what need or needs God wants us to address. At the same time, we will be discovering within us particular abilities and giftings, which obviously will be suited to meeting that particular need. We have to work at this whole thing, in a sense, from both ends. I'm always fascinated by the incredible feats of engineering that countries in Europe, not only Europe, of course, but particularly the Swiss people with their mountainous nation, also the Italians and others, but they drill through these massive Alps and create these tunnels through which traffic, etc., can pass. It's amazing how they do it, but obviously they don't start at one end and then go to the other. With precision engineering, they mount the two machines, the drillers, at both ends, and then they work through and meet, as it were, in the middle. Now, just use that analogy in your and my life. As we are moving into our walk with God, because of our experiences, past, present, and what we pick up from being in the kingdom of heaven, we should start to identify particular needs. What do I mean by particular needs? In God's economy, every need is important. But he's placed a process here whereby you and I can identify the direction he wants us to go. And the best way I can describe it is using that scripture in Matthew 9, verse 36. We think of the Lord, he sees the multitudes. At this stage, he's just got the news that John has been beheaded, John the Baptist. And then it states there, as it does in many other places in the word, he was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion. The process of you and I moving into what God has called us to do is supernaturally orchestrated by placing in us certain desires. Psalm 37 verse 4, which we read, delight yourself in the Lord, get involved with the things of God, learn how to pray, learn how to fellowship with God, learn His word, etc., etc. And you see, as a result of that, it says He will give you the desires of your heart. Now, at first sight, that can be very validly translated in that God wants to give us what we have in our heart. But you see, a deeper understanding is that as we delight ourselves in the Lord, the desires in our heart that He has planted there begin to rise to the surface. These desires go way beyond material things, fancy holidays, ideal work situation, etc. What we've got to see is that as we involve ourselves with God, we discover inside of us a certain attraction. It's the only way I can describe it. A compassion for meeting a particular need. And that compassion can be as a result of experiences that we have already had. I'll give an example. Perhaps somebody has come through devastating poverty as a child. And through the grace of God, has been able to build themselves up financially and in other ways. In this position now, that person, when he comes into contact with people that he can see, and not just see, can feel, are going through what he went through, might very well have a compassion rise up inside of him to meet that need. You think of somebody who's experienced extreme hunger in their life. It's quite possible that they might come across people and in themselves can't bear to see them going hungry. What's happening here? A desire, you see, of the heart to meet a particular need. You might have somebody who's been ravaged by drug abuse, for example. Someone who knows the hopelessness, the loneliness, the devastation of that terrible, terrible captivity. By the grace of God, he comes to God and gets freed from all of that, is set on high. That same person might very well feel, I've got to help other people that were like me. It's not always the case, but I hope we're grasping it. You see, when you and I have a compassion for a particular situation, that's a sure indication that that's the direction God wants to use us. In a sense, it's God building the past into the future. No plan B with God, as we said. I remember one man of God on a television network interviewing a evangelist. And this evangelist was operating in China. And the interviewer asked him, how did you know that you should go to China? And this was his answer. He said, for some reason, every time I read something about China, it would just grip my heart. God has placed in my heart an inexplicable love for the Chinese people. I haven't even met them. Can you see that? That person delighting himself in the Lord, and God has placed some desire in his heart. That is God, the Holy Spirit, prompting us in a particular direction. From my own experience, I remember praying for children in hospital, and I'd make a point of being there as often as I could. Very often pray, sometimes through the whole night, trying to be of comfort and help, praying the prayer of faith and seeing some results. And one of the parents once asked me, "Why do you do this? Why do you take all this trouble? Nobody pays you. Why do you do this?" And the answer that just came up in my heart at the time, and I believe it was the prompting of the Holy Spirit, I said to the parents, "There's something I just don't understand. And that is the love that He has placed in my heart for these sick children." I was being very honest. Couldn't understand it. But you see, God had placed that there, and that was a sign for me, that was proof positive, as it were, that for that period of time, things have changed now, but for that period of time, that's the need He wanted me as an individual to meet. So we have this, on the one hand, meeting a need. The heart of any ministry, valid ministry, is meeting a need. For example, starting a church. It's pointless just starting a church for the sake of starting a church. A church needs to be started with a particular need in mind, a particular people group, perhaps, a particular sector of society. When I think of our own church, the need we feel strongly that needs to be met is a need for solid Bible instruction. Too many children of God, unfortunately, are wandering around in ignorance, and it's causing a lot of damage to them and to other people. So you see, that's what we feel God's called us to do. That's the need that we feel important at this stage to do what we can to meet. There are others, but we can't go into detail here. So you see, you and I, as we are involved with the kingdom of heaven, we become aware of needs. And although there are many needs out there, we'll find that some needs draw us more than others. That's the Holy Spirit. It's something that can only be experienced, and it's very difficult to explain logically. But that's how it is. That's the one end of the tunnel, as it were. At the same time, you see, on the other end, by being involved with the church, with the kingdom of heaven, with life, we should be discovering particular giftings in our lives. And here comes the process whereby we can move with assurance into what God has called us to do. What we can do is look at our particular gifting, look at the need, and then get from God the wisdom how to use our particular gifting. Note, our particular gifting to meet that particular need. Matching gifts with needs. I hope I haven't made things more complicated than they are. But we have to grasp that we are here to extend the kingdom of heaven, and God's highest priority is people. There are so many needs out there. The church of God is uniquely designed to meet needs at every possible level. You and I, as part of this great body of people, I hate to call it an organization, although obviously it should be organized, have a strategic role to play. Note, that strategic role will be totally unique. We will have a particular unction to meet a particular need, and we'll have a particular gifting or giftings. And the key to life and the key to seeing our giftings flourish at the highest level is to place ourselves in a position whereby those giftings can be used by God to meet a particular need. I'm not going to say any more at this stage because I think there's enough here just to think about for now. Can I encourage us to perhaps listen to the teachings from before to get this whole thing together in context? As I've said, one thing leads to another. We have to, in a sense, grasp as much of the whole picture as we can to move into it. One teaching alone is not enough to cover all the diverse aspects and to help us move forward. That is God's prayer, that each one of us slowly, inexorably, step by step, as a great army, moves forward. I'm trusting Him by the Holy Spirit to help us, each and every one, identify what it is in our heart of hearts that we want to see right, and what it is that God has given us to make that happen, and how we can position ourselves that God the Father, through the Holy Spirit, in His power, can use us for His glory on this earth. Be blessed in the wonderful name of Yeshua. Amen.